Well, what I want to do today for about 10 minutes, I guess, 15 minutes, is I want to sort of sum up, finish up the message series that we've been going for 9 weeks. This is week number 9. I cannot believe that you can take the 23rd Psalms, right, and take 9 weeks to talk about what was going on in David's heart. The big idea was this, the big idea that I wanted everyone to watch. If you didn't remember anything else, if you could remember day one, you remember today, all the rest will work itself out. But number one, to remember that the Lord is our shepherd. And we, in order to have a shepherd, we must be a what? A sheep. And sheep are dumb. So, Pastor, you calling me dumb? No, not at all. I would never call any of you dumb. A couple of you I have some names for, but dumb is not that, okay? You're probably like, oh, he's looking at me. He's looking at me. But in order to have a shepherd, we must be a sheep, right? And the sheep are, we learn, completely dependent upon the shepherd. And that's the kind of life we have to live, because we've got to surrender ourselves to the shepherd. Because too many times we've talked, you can go back online and listen to some of those messages, we try to be in control. We want to be in control of our life. We want to tell God how our day is going to go. In other words, we want to say, okay, God, did you take your vitamins this morning? Because my calendar is full today, so you got to keep up. Maybe for a chance, maybe, I don't know. This is just a wild guess, right? Maybe God has a better plan for your day. Maybe God has a better plan for your life. Maybe God's schedule for your day that day is, maybe it's way better than anything we could ever think or imagine. And learning to be a sheep in Christ being our shepherd, we get to surrender that to Him. I'm reminded the scripture says there's a way that seems right to us, to a man. But what? The end leads to what? To destruction. A man plans in his heart. So the idea was is that we have to have a vision. We need to have a plan in our life. But we have to submit that vision, that plan to the Lord. Because a man plans in his heart, it says, but God directs his steps. So the big idea was that we need to be sheep. God is our shepherd. And then we get to this last verse in Psalm 23. And I have to be very transparent with you this morning. I'm probably going to go off my notes, so just bear with me. I won't chase too many rabbits. If I do, then Dave, you can get me back on track. But as I begin to study and look at this, I will dwell in the house of the Lord, right? I begin to struggle. Because the more I begin to look and the more I begin to study and to read, I realize something. Sometimes I am more concerned and caught up with being a pastor than I am being a worshiper. And sometimes in our life, we get all caught up. We're more concerned and put more effort and energy into doing the things that we think we are supposed to do that our identity would give into instead of being a worshiper of God. Now think about this. David says, I will dwell in the house of the Lord. And I believe that this Psalm 23 was birthed probably in his heart when he was a shepherd. But if I had to guess, this is just me guessing, maybe he had already been anointed king and he's there, okay, I've been anointed now. We already have a king. What am I supposed to do? And he probably went back out to the sheep, covered in oil from Samuel, right? He probably said, that's probably where this psalm was birthed. But I don't believe that it was written until a certain thing happened in David's life. Because David now, he's king. He's made a lot of mistakes in life, but he's always come back. If you remember, the prophet came to him and reminded him of something that he wanted to pass judgment upon. And when it was him, he bowed down before God and began to weep and cry and ask forgiveness. There's a moment in David's life when his son Absalom rose up against him. His son rose up because some bad things were happening. David was not taking care of his household the way he should have. Right? How many of us have ever struggled with that? Right? I'm raising my hands in transparency this morning. Right? He was not taking care of the household that God had given him. And his son rose up and began to do some really bad things. For the sake of time, we won't even say what it is. But it came to a point where Absalom drove David out of the city. Took over his kingdom and drove him out. And I believe as David was headed out, he turned around and he looked and said, I remember as I used to go into the tabernacle. And David was a worshiper, and he used to go before the tabernacle of God. He would get down on his knees. He began to worship because that's where the presence. In the Old Testament, right, we see that the presence of God was there in the tent of God. And the priest had to come and perform all of these things and make these sacrifices and do all these things in order and right. There was music continually going on. And then at that point, the presence of God would show up. And David many times found himself at that place on his knees in the worship before God. And all of a sudden, he's headed out with his family and whatever he was able to take. And he looks back, and this is probably the thought. He goes, I'm not going to miss the city. I'm not going to even miss the palace and all the things. But the one thing that I'm going to miss is the presence of God. Then he says, I will dwell. In other words, he's saying to himself in his heart, is there a way, God? Is there any way possible that I can take your presence with me? Is there any way possible that maybe there's another tabernacle? What can I do? Now we know later on that David came back into the city, regained, Absalom was slain. And even in that point when Absalom was slain, his son died, David was down on his knees and down on his face crying out in anguish. And we know that he ended his days there in the tabernacle of God, in the presence of the Lord. I got good news today. You and I, we are that temple. And I think sometimes, and we said it today, that's why I love that last song. It's a new song, but I love that song. Right? Because it says, I come before God broken. I come into His presence. He hears the cry of the broken. You and I, we are that temple. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. In other words, you and I, we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. We are the temple of God. And we take that presence with us. And when we come to church on Sunday morning, I do not want us to take for granted our time of worship. And this is what God did through me this week. And he said, son, he said, look, he said, a lot of things have been going on. They have. A lot. My schedule, I was showing the chaplain there at the 104th Fighter Wing where I served with an ED, right? I was showing him my schedule on my phone. And he says, wow, that's your schedule? I'm like, yeah. He goes, mine don't look anything like that. And I'm the wing chaplain, right? I said, it's busy. We are all busy. Busy in life, but our busyness and what we do here on earth does not define us. It is not our identity. Jesus Christ has already given us a new identity. So here's the deal. How do we become true worshipers? In other words, what was David really saying that I would dwell in the house of the Lord? It was every moment he wanted. David's desire was that every moment of every day that God's presence would be with him. He would be in the presence of God. How many of you want to be in God's presence all the time? Right? When the word says, I will dwell in the house of the Lord, it doesn't mean that you're going to come here at 6 o'clock in the morning to this building and hang out here all day. Right? We're not going to get caught up in this, you know, this charisma mania where all we do is constantly all the time, right? You can do that if you want to, but you're probably going to end up somewhere you don't want to be. All right? There are times when we lift our hands and we worship God. The idea of dwelling in God's presence, of dwelling in His house forever, is that we have to live a life where our identity is in not what we do, but who we are. And that we need to live our life at any moment of any day, God's presence is there with us. Because it's His presence that gives us the power to do the work He's told us to do. We know what we're supposed to do. Every single one of you have an assignment for God. Every one of us have got a calling and a passion in our life. If you look deep down on the inside of you, you'll see that there's a passion that can never be put out. And there's a calling. Many of you say, well, Pastor, I know what that calling is. I know what it is. Some of you say, well, I think I know. Others are like, well, I'm not real sure. Sit down with me for a little while. Talk with me. I'll help you see it. Because a lot of you, I see it in you already. It's the presence of God that gives us that power. It's the aroma. It's the breath. The glory. It's that power that helps us do what God's already given us the ability to do. What happens is the enemy comes along. He tries to steal it. So we'll talk about three areas today. I just went through like 5 pages of notes right there. That's pretty good, right? Come on now. Let me put those away. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Listen, let me say this, and then I'm going to close on my 3 points. Is that okay? I stand up here, and I'm very transparent with you guys. Sometimes I kind of question, right? Should I be as transparent, right? Should I really let you guys know what's really what's going on inside? And I thought about it. I said, well, maybe somebody might use it against me. Now, you know what? No. I am transparent because you know why? Some of the best stories I have to tell, to use, to illustrate, to make a point in God's word are my own. And you guys are going to get to know me really, really well. The one thing I ask back is that you're transparent with me. Because we can't live a life where we're hiding. We can't hide. Do not be something you're not. If you're struggling with something, Pastor, I am struggling. If you're addicted to something, Pastor, I'm addicted. I need help. Because in that transparency, you're crying out to God. You see, David tried to hide it. See, the prophet came to him and says, hey, let me tell you a story about a little lamb and a man with a bunch of sheep and one sheep, and he killed the sheep and all this stuff, right? And David's standing there like this, all proud. Hey, bring that man before me so I can judge him, David says. He says, you're the man. David fell down on his face and began to cry and weep and ask forgiveness to God. I'm going to be transparent with you. Because that's what God told me to do. Because you see God working through my life, I want him to work through your life. Because I'm not perfect, and I've said it before. But I'm a work in progress. And this week, it was so apparent. Because I said, God told me, he says, look, Shannon, he said, son, you've been doing praise and worship all your life. You know how to sing it and play it and worship and all that good stuff. You know it. But you're no David. Son, you're no David. Get that in your mind right now. And I am no David. But I sure want to be like one. And that's for us today. We are no David, but we should strive to be a man or a woman after God's own heart. But right, but here's what happens. So we need to be living in God's presence. He needs to be with us. And right, sometimes there are things the enemy will throw at us. And here's the first one, busyness. I already talked about it, right? Busyness. We get so busy, so caught up in our schedules and our time that, right, we forget. We forget, because I've mentioned before, the first thing we should do when we wake up in the morning, this is a challenge to you. Instead of checking, right, your phones or whatever, I find myself, I'm going to be pretty, look, I stood up here and said that, and on Monday morning I woke up and, whoop, what's going on right here? Okay. Oh, and this young man over here, he walks over to me and he says, hey, are you on your phone in there? No, I'm praying. Right? That's what he says to me. Here's the second thing. The second thing is shame. It's shame. Let me give you an example. How many of you have ever had that moment in your quiet time? Or the moment you come to church, the worship music begins, and it's at that very moment when you're about to sing unto God or give your heart that the enemy comes, and what does he do? He begins to remind you of your past failures. You open your Bible up and you're ready to go and read the Word. And all of a sudden, as you're there and you begin to read, God, the enemy comes to remind you, hey, remember this bad thing in your past? Remember this failure? Remember this sin? You're not worthy enough to read. You're not worthy enough to hear from God. Those are traps. Those are disguises. The enemy wants to come and steal that away. The third one is idols. Look, we may not see ourselves, many of us, may not see ourselves as a passionate worshiper of God, but let me tell you something. We're a passionate worshiper of something. We're a worshiper of something. There's something you worship. Right? I had an idol that came into my life not too long ago. And it began to consume me. I was giving so much time to it. Right? And that idol was this thing called Facebook and Twitter. Right? All right, come on. Let me be transparent for a minute, right? I'm being transparent with you. Right, so instead of getting up in the morning and giving God the glory, and I was sitting there like checking the Facebook, checking the Twitter, and I didn't post a whole lot because I said, like, I can't really post it because somebody's going to judge me, right? So there I'm dealing with that. But I want to see what everybody's doing. I'm going to see what they're doing, right? I still check it. But the Lord reminded me, he said, you're going to worship something. You're going to be passionately worshiping something. He wants us to worship him. When it says in the house of the Lord, let me close with this. You see, in the Old Testament, in the temple, there was priests had responsibilities. And they would fulfill their responsibilities. And as they did that, and they would fulfill their responsibilities, it says that the presence of God would fill that place. When Jesus Christ came in the New Testament, we also have the same responsibilities. See, you may be, you are the priest. And your body is the temple, and you still have the same responsibilities. And there's one thing that is completely common in every sacrifice that was made at the temple. Every single one, the one thing that remained common in every one of them, something died. There was death. So, Pastor, what are you saying? I gotta die? Absolutely. We have to die to ourselves. We have the same responsibilities. Romans 12:1 says, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God. Paul is talking to the Roman church. He says, to present your bodies a living sacrifice. And he's remembering and he's being reminded of the responsibilities of the priests and the temple and the sacrifices. And Paul is saying to the Romans, he's saying to us today, you have the same responsibilities. Die to yourself so that I can live. And Paul says, if you want to live with God's presence in your life all the time, every day you got to get up and say, today I have died with Christ. I am risen with Christ. I've been raised to a new life. The old man doesn't exist anymore. The new man has been redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. The new man has been saved, and I offer myself completely into your hands, into your service, each and every day. Here's the deal. All those things that God's given us to do, all those assignments, and here's my third closing, by the way. This is for real. So, man, get ready. Come on up here, because I'm going to pray for these guys in a moment. When you make your priority and make your life a life of worship, guess what happens? Then you're able to fulfill everything that God has given you to fulfill here upon this earth. Amen? Amen. Amen. Can I pray for you this morning? I'm going to pray and I'll just turn it over to Ben. And at the end today, I do want to make sure that at the end of the service, as you guys dismiss, I'll ask our prayer team to come. If you need prayer today, because listen, I know this is real quick. I packed, 45 minutes into 20. If you need prayer, please come for prayer today. Father, I take a moment now, Lord, and I just pray for us. Lord, you convicted me by your Holy Spirit, God, that I need to be a worshiper of you, that I need your presence in my life. I was created to worship you. God, you desire my worship. You demand my worship. Lord, my life needs to die to itself, be surrendered to you, so that each and every day, the first thing that I do is I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And when I do that, God, when I give my life to you and I present to you the first thing every single day, that your presence will begin to dwell within me, that I am your temple, God, I will be able to fulfill. We, God, will be able to fulfill the call that you placed upon our life. I pray, God, this week, as we find ourselves in those moments, remind us of this word, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. Amen.